And without further ado, we are joined on the line, and we're doing this quickly. Going to put the phones on hold. Senator John Braun over there in Olympia. And welcome to the show, Senator. We'll try to work with the schedule. I know you're in and out with floor votes and things like that. They're keeping you busy,
yeah.
Aren't they?
It is a busy time in Olympia. This is the time when we're on the floor considering the House bills, and I may have to step out just for a moment here and there to vote, but I appreciate you having me on so we can talk about what's happening over here in Olympia.
Absolutely. And, of course, you had mentioned we were kind of talking before we went on, and a couple of weeks back, the Blake decision, which vacated tens of thousands of drug convictions, also a pursuit bills. There were some fixes made. A lot of people thinking we would have liked to have gotten more. But you said now it's time. The Senate has kind of taken care of these things. They put some stuff out there, and now you're kind of waiting on the House. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And I would characterize it like this: on the bill that deals with the Blake decision, which is state Supreme Court decision that essentially legalized hard drugs, and then we passed a bad bill. The Democratic majority passed a bad bill 2 years ago that essentially put that into law for all practical purposes. We passed a bill out of the Senate a few weeks ago to address the Blake decision. It wasn't everything I would like, but I would say that's a decent bill. It gets us in a better shape than we are right now. It does focus on treatment, but also has some consequences, some leverage for the prosecutors to get people and keep people in treatment. So, but right now, that's gone to the House. They have significantly gutted the bill. It's not clear if or how it's going to come back to us, so we need to keep pressure on. The public needs to keep pressure on. This is a problem that has to be fixed, needs to be fixed in this Senate. We can't go another year or another 2 years with the current law. People are dying as a result. So that's what's happened on Blake. On the vehicular pursuit, it's a little different because why we did, and to their credit, some Democrats came along and helped us. We did get a pursuit bill out of the Senate and keep the bill alive for discussion. None of us are happy with the bill that came out. It doesn't do nearly enough to get after the lawlessness in our state. The hope is that the House would take and hear it and basically amend on the bill that was dropped by Representative Rule that is a much better bill, much stronger bill, and one that might actually work. So far, that hasn't happened. So we got to keep pressure on, and time is short. We got about a week. Something has to move in the next week on both these issues if we're going to have solutions that can take effect after this session.
Yeah. Now, to kind of, if you can, maybe just give us a couple things from those bills that you were happy that police, if it passes, what are a couple of big things that police would be able to do if the bill gets through?
Well, on the bill that has to do with the Blake decision, now we would essentially re-involve our law enforcement in a real way, meaning if you're caught with illegal substances, hard drugs, on your person, they can now arrest you, you'd be booked, you'd go, and then the prosecutor would have a chance to say, and there's a bunch of off-ramps here that say, hey, if you, you're in this situation, and you agree to treatment, and you follow through and complete treatment, they're going to vacate that arrest, and it's not going to be on your record. And hopefully, the real goal here is to get people back into civil society, if they can. If they so that's I think good. I mean, but the difference is if they don't do that, if it gives them real leverage. So if they don't do treatment, if they don't want to, there's leverage. They're going to go to jail for a while, and hopefully that will motivate them. Certainly, it would hopefully isolate them from their access to drugs and clean them up a little bit. Hopefully, encourage folks to get on treatment. But this is what we find over and over again, that people need some motivation. You don't just, if you're struggling with addiction, it's the rare addict that just wakes up one day and says, "Hey, today I decided I'm gonna beat this." It's just hard. It's a very tough situation on people. We need to help get them and keep them in treatment, and that's what the bill does. It's focused on treatment, but it has real consequences. Involves our law enforcement and our prosecutors in a way that they can actually be helpful in getting people back on the right track. So that bill, I think there's some good stuff in. I would like there to be a little more consequences, a little more teeth to ratchet up if people continue to not respond and not get into treatment, stay in treatment. So, but that's where that one is. On the pursuit bill, it's a little tougher, frankly. Like I said, I actually voted against that bill. I think it was it's good in the sense it does something. It basically allows for police officers use reasonable suspicion to pursue crimes involving violence against people. And that's certainly important. But the reality is those types of crimes, murders, assaults, domestic violence, rarely involve, high-speed vehicular pursuit. That's just not how those types of crimes happen. So while it's not bad, it doesn't do any harm, it doesn't get after the lawlessness. We need to be able to, the law enforcement to be able to pursue on reckless driving, in response to that tragic accident we saw here a few weeks ago in Yakima. Or we need to be able to pursue as a result of stolen vehicles, which we know have led to, unintended consequences with bystanders getting hurt or even killed from folks who have stolen vehicles. We need them to be able to pursue when there's drive-aways, to get after the lawlessness. We have folks who just realize there's no consequences if they drive away from law enforcement. Mm-hmm. We can't allow that to stand and think we can live in a well-ordered, law-abiding society. We have to get after that. And this bill doesn't. Is it a half step in the right direction? Certainly. Is it going to solve the problem? Absolutely not. We need to make a stronger bill.
Absolutely. And we'd heard that a number of GOP legislators had voted against it because primarily some of them said because it didn't include auto theft and our auto theft rates are skyrocketing. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I was going to say, I think none of the Republican lawmakers liked the bill. We did offer some votes in the Senate for the simple reason that we wanted to keep the bill alive. Otherwise, under the rules, it would have died, and the bill would have been done discussing. So we did offer some votes, but even those that voted for it, I would tell you, they don't love the bill. They're just trying to keep it alive in the hope that we can get a better bill before the end of the session.
So maybe they could add some amendments to it. We've seen that sometimes when a bill comes up or gets ready for a vote. Legislators will say, I'd like to add this amendment, and then, sometimes they get added, sometimes they don't. So they kind of wanted to keep it on life support with the hopes that it could be retweaked, correct?
That's right. We have, good proposed bills in both chambers, and in the one in the House is the one in the Senate were almost exactly the same. The one in the House had, 20 Democrats that came along. If we could get that bill, that one was proposed by Senator Rule, struck over the top of the bill that we sent over there, that'd be a big win. But so far, the House Democratic leadership has been unwilling to do that. So, they're banking on maybe they pass the bill as it came from the Senate and check that off as in job done, but the job's not done. It will not make our community safer if that's the only thing they do.
Yeah. Again, we're talking with Washington Senate, State Senate Minority Leader John Braun, Senator Braun, and appreciate you taking the time. I know this time of year, there's two and a half weeks left. You folks are zipping in and out of votes. We touched on these are a couple of big things for the GOP. What are some other things that have stood out to you that are either things that need to be fixed or addressed or some other areas where you're still trying to get some movement?
Yeah, so our priorities broadly have been, of course, public safety. We talked about affordability, education. I would say in affordability, still a lot of work going on. I mean, I think the good news, at least on the Senate side, is the operating budget didn't include any new taxes. It even had a few very targeted tax reductions. So that's good news when it comes to affordability. There's some good bills still alive. They're not in quite the shape they were in a few weeks ago, but still bills out there that will help with our housing shortage, making the regulatory environment better. There's a good permitting bill that we passed over to the House, and so far that bill is hung in there, and I'm hopeful for it. There's some good bills that may add some additional places to build, and some of those are more controversial than others, but I think on net, if they can add more places to build, we improve the regulatory environment. If we do all this together, I think there's a chance we can get more building in our state, and that's really what we need. We have a lot. We have thousands of homes behind. By one estimate, 300,000 homes behind right now, a million homes behind if you go out over the next 20 years. We have a lot of housing to build if we're going to catch up. So that I think still could land in a positive way, but there's we're down to the wire. This is when it's going to matter the most. We got to land this thing in a way that's helpful. Other things on affordability, I'd mentioned still some good work when it comes to hospitals and getting our hospitals back in good financial order. And that's both a foundational issue for medical care in our communities, but also a big, you know, economic, both in terms of employment, but also in terms of the cost of care. So there's that, I think, is in okay shape, certainly better than I thought it might be a few weeks ago. So we're making progress there. When it comes to education, I think the biggest issue is we have some significant funding in the Senate budget to get after learning loss in our state, about $70 million. It's a big deal. It could make a big impact on the education for our children. We also have a big investment in special funding for special education children in the Senate budget. So we're fighting to hold on to those without any new taxes. I think that if we can get that done, that would be a positive, and certainly lines up with the priorities for the Republicans during the session.
And one more thing I wanted to ask you about, and I'm not sure if you've had a chance to hear about it. You'd mentioned about housing and affordability. A lot of buzz already about this. It's a House bill, 1628. Apparently, it was just recently introduced. It is the one that would raise the real estate excise tax.
Yeah.
For higher priced properties that are $5 million or higher, it would go from 1.29 to 4%. But apparently, it would also put a quarter of a percent tax on virtually all other real estate transactions in Washington cities and counties. And they said that the money basically would go to pay for subsidized housing. Has there been anything like this, or is this in the Senate, or is this just a House idea that was just introduced?
Well, they've been working on it in the House on and off most of the session. It's not in the Senate, and I don't think it has support in the Senate, at least on a majority support. We're working hard on that. I mean, it's just a wrong-headed idea. We don't make housing more accessible, more affordable by making it more expensive. That's backwards thinking, in my view. And the idea that we're only going to, you know, first of all, as you said, it doesn't just tax the high-end properties. It actually taxes everything, and that's, you know, people kind of sweep that under. Don't talk about that, but you're exactly right. But even if it's just the high-end, what people don't understand is if you're above, you know, the high-end, that includes apartment building. So what this is going to do, it's going to drive up the cost of rent for folks who, you know, don't own their own home but are renting. So nothing about this REIT bill actually helps our current housing availability and affordability crisis. And I do call it a crisis because I think we're in really bad shape. This just goes in the absolute wrong direction. So we're going to push back hard on this. The House is sending kind of a mixed message. They ultimately didn't include it in their budget, but they keep saying it's alive for consideration. Well, we'd like to shut that down and say, no, this is not the right time to introduce a new tax on housing in our state when we just can't build enough housing and we haven't been able to make it affordable for everybody.
Yeah, and I had seen some of the reports indicating there's no indication as to when they're going to vote on it, but they're just kind of, like you said, they're letting it linger there. I know that you're probably going to need to get back in there for some votes and things, but as we continue to look at stuff, the next 2 weeks, is there any priority? I know there's a lot of the priorities we've touched on, but is there anything else in the next 2 weeks that you and the rest of the Republicans are really laser focused on that you really want to see pushed over the top?
Well, the last thing, you know, I would reinstate, you know, the issues with public safety, education, you know, affordability are the top issues. But one of the things, you know, is the operating budget, which, of course, is a big deal. We need to make sure we hold the line. We actually, some of us supported, even though we don't love everything in it, I wouldn't call it a bipartisan budget, but the Senate operating budget did take a lot of Republican input. And it significantly peels back the growth we've seen in operating budgets over the last three bienniums, where it averaged 19% growth. It's wholly unsustainable. This one does grow, but it grows by just under 8%. So we'd like to see, ultimately, the budget hold the line, pull back on growth, something is more sustainable and affordable without new taxes. So that's the other thing we're going to be focused on, make sure we have our spending in order, that we're not getting over our skis, that we're living within our means, especially as we look out in the next few years where, you know, we could have challenges economically. We want to make sure, as a state, we're in good shape.
Yeah, especially when it comes to marrying or blending the House and the Senate budget. Absolutely. Well, thank you very much, Senator. We're going to go ahead and let you get back to the votes. I know it is sounded busy over there, but we want to thank you for joining us today on The Bottom Line, and we hope to talk again before the session is over.
All right, great. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Thank you very much. That is Washington State, Senate Minority Leader John Braun.